Cheerscast is part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Ever since I got the bar back, I've been looking for ways to say, hey, thank you for patronizing me.
Oh, Sam, I know you wanted to use a great big word there. I think that's marvelous, but I believe what you meant to say was thank you for your patronage.
Really? What's the difference?
Patronage means customer. Patronizing is the way one would talk to a small, dull child.
Kind of like how you're talking to me right now.
Aren't you cute? You wanna go where everybody knows your name.
Hello and welcome back to Cheerscast, a podcast where everybody knows your name. I'm your host, Ryan Daly, and joining me this time is returning guest, author of The Playtyper Guy, Substack. Please welcome back Stephen Robinson. What's up, Stephen? And do you know who sucked all the cream filling out of the Bavarian cream donuts?
I have a suspect, Ryan. Thank you for having me back on this particular episode. I have very fond memories of watching originally. I'm excited to talk about it.
This was a fun episode. I've always liked it. As I'll get into during my synopsis, it's a very straightforward, pretty kind of almost streamlined episode. Mm-hmm. There's not much of a subplot. There's just one like a very kind of small one. But I also think this is just a really funny one. And I had an obvious MVP in terms of who my favorite character was in this episode. Mm-hmm. But the runners up was a pretty wide range. It could have gone to a lot of different people. Yeah, folks, and we are at season 9, episode 10. We're in the double digits now for season 9. And this episode is called Veggie Boyd, written by Dan Staley and Rob Long, directed by James Burrows. And the original air date was Thursday, November 22nd, 1990. Woody books a commercial promoting a new drink called Veggie Boy. Despite the distractions of Norm, Cliff, and Sam on the set, he's able to deliver his one line, "I like it." After the commercial airs on TV, the company sends Woody a case of Veggie Boy. But when he drinks it for the first time, he recoils in disgust. Woody doesn't like Veggie Boy. He hates it, but he says he liked it. That makes Woody a liar, which sends him into a spiral of guilt, shame, and depression. The gang suggests that if Woody learned to like it, he would no longer be a liar. So Frasier hypnotizes Woody, planting a love for Veggie Boy in his mind. And it seems to work. Woody really likes Veggie Boy. But when he learns that the company is pulling the drink off the shelves and discontinuing it, Woody freaks out like a Veggie Boy junkie in need of a fix. Meanwhile, Cliff worries that his role in the bar has been supplanted by trivia napkins. All right, Stephen, what did you think about this one overall?
Yeah, as I said, I have very fond memories of this as it originally aired. Very straightforward. There are some ways where it's less emotionally complex than it might have been during sort of a Diane season. Mm-hmm. And I can explain that as we get to it. My beloved B.B. Newerth is in this. So that's always good. I do have some quibbles about how her character is treated in this, but we can get into. It's often, as we've discussed, about an episode I also enjoyed, but in retrospect had issues with, The Visiting Ledger. It's just like, oh man, that perhaps did not age as well as I would like.
Right.
But this is a pure showcase for Woody Harrelson and Kelsey Grammer, as always, sort of killing lines and doing everything. So this is a really fun episode.
Yeah, and it even occurred to me, like, a lot of times if the main episode focuses on one particular character, the teaser might spotlight somebody else. But in this time, Woody is the center of the teaser, too, for this episode. It starts off because he's talking about he just moved into a new place. He's like, oh, I love this place. It's the best night's sleep he ever had. Not counting that time in Hanover when he got locked indoors overnight at the Piggly Wiggly. He's like, it was cold and lonely, but the food, man. And Norm just kind of gives him this knowing nod. He's like, yeah, I forget. But he says the best part about this new place is it has cable. And like, oh, well, you know, I'm glad it's nicer than your old apartment. He's like, well, no, it's not as nice as the old apartment, but it has cable. Well, is it furnished? Did it come with all that? He's like, no, it didn't, but it does have cable. Well, Norm is like, at least I hope it's in a better neighborhood than your last one was. That place was terrible. He's like, no, the neighborhood's actually kind of worse. But, you know, what are you going to expect when it has cable? And they're like, oh, yeah, it's more expensive than his other place, too. But it has cable. And then finally, like, after all of that, Sam is like, well, cable is great. I love it. They had RoboCop on TV last night. Did you catch that? I was like, no, my cable was out last night.
He's great in this as well. And Woody Harrelson is interesting. Woody of the characters would be one who, if Ted Danson had left, could easily be the focus of the show.
Yeah.
You know, the whole structure, obviously, because he's the young guy from Indiana, comes to the big city. There's so much where he could be clearly your star. And they do build a world around him, like you know, Kelly and everything.
And
he's really good in this as well. So, and everyone plays off him very well, because I think everyone likes him, which I think is a cool thing. Like, there's a sense of, you know, with Cliff, it'd be hard to explain why there's anyone, if he's a star of something, like, why is anyone in this world with him? Because he can be annoying. But Woody, at his core, is someone people kind of like, similar to Sam. So
yeah, like Carly even points that out to him when she takes a shot at him later on. They're like, that was a little bit harsh. Like, yeah, but I like Woody. No, like, that's why she was only a little bit cruel to him.
Oh, a little cruel. I like Woody.
Yeah. I was trying to think, of course, like the whole the quaintness of this, of having an apartment that comes with cable and everything. It's like, what would, like, it would be equivalent to just like free Wi-Fi or something like that?
Yes,
like,
yes, exactly.
Yeah, have to be equivalent or something. Like,
it was a huge, I mean, I remember moving to New York in the mid-90s and being like, oh my God, can I afford cable? That was like your big splurge. And when I met my now wife, she was doing a little bit better than me. So she had like, I had stopped getting cable, but she had cable. And it was like, she had many other positive attributes, but man, that cable.
But if it was on the fence, then that was certainly exactly.
My God, you've got the Daily Show. I don't even have this. She had an even better cable because he was in a better neighborhood. So it's like, oh my God, this is awesome. So yeah, that was very familiar. His whole the running gag of Woody's bad neighborhood is very, if you had ever lived in a city and just starting out in your 20s, it's not, believe me, for anyone listening, it's not over the top if you've been following the running gag of bad neighborhood.
When we come back from the credits, we get one of Norm's classic entrances. It's nice that they haven't forgotten those. What can I do for you, Norm? Sam asks. He's like, open up those beer taps and take the day off. And you find out that Sam gets these trivia napkins for the bar. I think he got a great little exchange with Fraser. He's like, this is my way of saying thank you for patronizing me. Now that he has the bar back. And Fraser's like, oh, Sam, I know you want to use a great big word there. And as soon as he says that, you can kind of see Sam like, all right, what's going on? He kind of like leans back, like waiting. It's like, all right, Fraser, I know you're going to insult me, but let's have it. He's like, I think you meant to say patronage. That means customer. Patronizing is how one would talk to a slow, dull child. Sam's like, you mean like the way you're talking to me right now?
Yes.
Aren't you cute?
Cute, yeah. And that's a great moment to reinforce Sam having the bar back and just something I've been really missing with Sam's character, especially in the past, having a motivation other than just sort of being a middle-aged man trying to score with women. It's not like he's someone who, this is his home. He's going to be a little silly. He's going to maybe not the brightest guy, but this is his home. He's very positive to Woody and to others. Right. It's like, that is the Sam that, you know, I've always liked, and it's a much more positive character. And also, like with the napkins, It's genuine, right? He wants to. Mm-hmm. He loves everyone in a bar. With Rebecca, she had a lot of schemes and everything, but it was all sort of, maybe I'll get noticed and then get promoted out of this hell. Whereas Sam is perfectly happy, and so that's nice. Right.
So the guys start reading off some of the napkins, like, what is the oldest state capital in the U.S.? And Cliff jumps on this. He's like, wait a minute. I gave you that answer a month ago. And they're like, shh, let's have some fun with it. And they're asking each other. They go for it. And then it's like, Norm asks, he's like, what was the first civilization to brew beer? The first civilization to brew beer. And like, one of the tertiary guys is like, you know, early Greece or ancient Rome. And Norm was like, old Milwaukee. Kind of like that. And they're like, no, it was ancient Egypt. And Cliff is like, look, I just mentioned that to you guys the other day. I told you about that. And you acted like you weren't interested. And they're like, well, Cliff, it's different with the napkins. I'm like, how's it different with that? Well, the napkins don't spit on you when they talk, for one. You can already see like where this is going with the idea that they like these napkins more than Cliff. It's like,
yeah, I had forgotten about that subplot. And it's sort of the closest to the B plot, but it's so interwoven into everything else. And it's just hilarious, especially because I remember again, when I started going to bars, and part of me having grown up watching Cheers, and sadly, there was no Diane, not even a Carla most of the time at these places, but there's always a Cliff. There is this know-it-all who lacks enough the self-awareness. You're like, have you watched Cheers? Do you know which of these characters you are? Like, that was not a model.
Sort of like at the poker table. If you look around the bar and you can't tell which one is the Cliff, it's you.
Yeah, yes, you are the Cliff. And listening to this season's recordings that you've been doing, they've been actually leading up to this with like how he got into his from his mom.
Right.
Everything. So I gave you all these crazy lines.
Rebecca comes in from the bag hall with Woody, and she's sort of reassuring him, consoling him. She's like, you'll do fine. We find out that he booked a commercial, but he's worried that he's not going to be able to play the part convincingly. You know, he doesn't know if he has the range as an actor to pull this one off. I'm like, what's the part? He's a bartender. Woody, you are a bartender. He's like, no, I know, but in this commercial, I have to like serve drinks to people. Woody, you do that every day. He's like, I know, but I have to like talk, deliver lines while I'm serving drinks. Like, Woody, you talk and serve beer all the time, every day. He's like, great. Now I'm worried about my job. Now you got me worried about this job.
Yes, he jinxed it. Like, oh my God, like, what? I can't help I was able to do this.
Yeah. He's like, I just got a handle on this one. Now you got me nervous. So Frazier's like, you know, maybe it would help you if you just kind of rehearse your line with us so we can help you get it. He's like, all right, I only have the one line. Like, let's hear it. And he takes out his script and he kind of gets into character. Like, I like it. That's it. And Frazier just, that's a very nice line, Woody. And Frazier points at him, patronizing, right?
That's a great callback. Patronizing, right.
Now you're getting it. Woody is like, he's surprised that they offered him the part because they wanted somebody fresh-faced and young. And they're like, well, that's you. Said, well, you know, maybe when I first came from Hanover 5 years ago, but living in the city after all this time, you know, it hardens a man. It makes him cynical, gives him an edge. And Sam was like, nah, you're still fresh. And Woody goes, jeepers, you think?
It's a nice lampshade on how Woody, yes, it's been 5 years, but he's essentially still the same Woody we're going right. to, you know.
Yeah. And then Woody asks if Sam will come down to the set with him while he does the commercial. It'll help him kind of boost his confidence. Norman Cliff invite themselves to go along, too. You know, Cliff is like, yeah, good TV. Like TV commercials. It's one of the one things I don't really know that much about. And Woody's like, well, you know, if I go down there with an entourage, it's going to make it seem like I'm a big shot, like with an ego. But I like that idea. They're like, all right, we're done. It's like, no, this is a good idea. It'll be like, you're my people. They start heading to the door, and it's again, one of those things where if you have to scrutinize the show for the podcast, you're like, wait a minute, Sam and Woody just leave in the middle of the day? Just up and walk out with two of their best customers. It's like, okay, I guess Rebecca and Carla are taking over, but for
Carla has the bar. Carla has the bar.
Like, this probably wasn't scheduled, but whatever. Then we cut to, we are at the set. Sam is flirting with an actress, because of course he is. And he says, you know, you're really great. Is there anything that I can look forward to seeing you in? Like my shower, for example. Norm is excited not for the attractive actress, though. He is excited by the buffet table that they have set up for the cast and crew. He's like, there's donuts and everything and all this whole spread. He's like, hey, somebody sucked all the cream filling out of the Bavarian cream.
I just love... Norm's like priorities are always going to be food and beer. That's pretty much his motivation.
Right. Because later when Woody comes out and he's like, Woody, you got makeup all over your face. Like, no, it's pancake. And Norm's like, whoa, is there a steam table?
Where would I miss that? Yeah.
It's like, no, feed your makeup. It's called pancake. It covers up all the flour. And Norm's like, oh yeah, Vera uses it for primer. And then Sam comes rushing back. He's like, you guys, I got this girl's phone number, but I need to write it down on something. And Norm digs into his pocket. He's like, oh yeah, I got one of those trivia napkins. And they're like, oh, great. And then and that just sends Cliff off the edge. He's like, oh, those napkins, those beautiful, you know, you like those napkins more than me. And he takes the napkin and starts ripping it up after Sam wrote the number. And Sam's like, what are you doing? And Cliff is just so mad that he just starts like, oh, by the way, Norm, I'm the one who sucked all the cream filling out of the Bavarian cream. And he holds a donut to his mouth, just little like slurping thing and just like slams it down. They're like, calm down, man, calm down. Continuing with this theme, though, Woody goes over to his pot in the set. They have this whole little fake bar set up and everything, and they put a glass down in front of him. He's like, is this Veggie Boy? Do you want me to take a drink? And one of the technicians like, no, don't drink this thing yet. We spray it with a special, you know, like latex or something polymer in order to make it look really nice under the lights. By the way, there was supposed to be a bowl of beer nuts here, too. And got to Norm is holding it going, Sammy, you got to get these beer nuts for that bar. It's like, they slide down, really.
Oh man!
For some of our guests, I guess that technician that I just mentioned is played by John Cervenka. This was his first TV appearance. He was also in things like According to Jim, Family Matters, Ellen, other shows from this era. The woman Jill, the actress that Sammy was flirting with, is played by Debbie Gregory. This is her first appearance too. She also had appearances in Full House, Empty Nest, Hearts of Fire, other stuff like that. The director of the commercial, who shows up, played by Tom Everett, got hundreds of appearances in IMDb. If you look him up, he was in the movie Dances with Wolves. He was in Air Force One, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, the Michael Bay Transformers movie, 13 Days, and just tons of TV stuff. So, the director comes in, he comes to talk to Woody, and he's like, yours are close up. Jill will feed you your line, and you just say, I like it. Woody's like, I like it. He's like, no, not to me. Wait till we're shooting. He's like, no, I like your direction. It's very direct to the point. Like, take one. And from off the camera, Jill goes, how is this new drink, Veggie Boy? And Woody, before he can get his line up, he just starts to crack up and laugh. What's going on? And he's like, I'm sorry, Mr. Peterson was making a funny face and distracted him. And everyone looks at Norm. He's like, I wasn't doing anything. He's like, I wasn't doing that. And Woody's still laughing. So the director's like, Woody, can your friend leave, please? Can you have him off the set? And Norm is like, fine, I'll go, but I didn't do anything wrong. And as he's walking up, Norm stops at the buffet table and grabs a box of donuts to take with him as if they're freebies. And the director was like, all right, take two. Norm stops at the door to go back. He's like, all right, if you insist, grabs another box of donuts.
I never expect that. It's one of those ones I forget. And when he does it, I just...
Because it's so fast. And then... The actress feeds Woody his line again. What do you think about this Veggie Boy? And Sam starts to laugh before Woody can even crack up. And then Sam's like, all right, I'm sorry. I'll go join my goofy friend. And Sam starts to walk out. And you just see him talking to Norm off screen, like through the door. He's like, oh, yeah, hang on. And Sam goes and grabs yet another box of donuts from the table. Finally, we get to the third take of the show. And we just see Cliff behind him making goofy faces, smearing the donut on his face, doing all these things to try and break Woody. And Woody doesn't break, just smiles and says, I like it. This line, like, cut, let's print, let's get out of here. Everything like that. And after Woody has to go up to Cliff, he's like, thanks for not doing any goofy faces or anything, Mr. Clayton. Back at Cheers, the gang is watching TV, waiting for the commercial break. Carla is complaining about the show. She's like, what is some coroner? Every week he has to dig up a dead body to find out something he missed the first time around. Like one of these procedural shows. What a surprise. He found a bullet in the skull.
Yeah. I don't, is this, was this Quincy? I mean, Quincy wasn't airing at the time, but I don't know. I actually don't recall what she's alluding to other than.
I don't think they actually mention it by name, but it's that type of, I imagine it was that type of. And then they're talking about the commercial. They watch the commercial. It airs during the break and everything. And it said, one thing it says, Veggie Boy, available in regular and chunky. Like, all right. They sent Rebecca ordered 23 cases of Veggie Boy to help them celebrate. And she pours them. She's like, the first taste goes to Woody. And he can't even swallow it, just like kind of like spits it out. And like everybody's like leaping back, like Norm gets off his seat and everything. And he's like, oh, this is disgusting. And they're like, hey, the commercial's on again. And we get this crazy little intercut thing that we don't see in Cheers a lot because it's sort of like a non-diegetic moment where they keep showing like the clips of him saying, I like it. And they keep repeating that bit on the thing.
Yeah.
And Woody's almost having this freak out where he's staring up at himself. He's like, I don't like it. I hate it. Stop. Woody, shut up. He's like talking to himself through that thing. And he has this little breakdown. He's like, somebody make him stop. And he runs down the hallway screaming.
Yeah, I guess that's, and that goes to my one quibble. It's Woody, so there's a lot of, you can go a lot with this, but he's an actor, and we've addressed this before when he was trying to pretend that he was in love with someone.
Right.
Like, it's not real. He's not a pitchman, you know, and I, as I was alluding to, I think at an earlier, like during the Diane era, you could imagine a whole episode around, say, Sam, because Sam was a professional athlete and he's a pitchman, he's pitching something. Right. And it's terrible, and he feels guilty about it. And Diane, as a conscience, often is sort of like, well, you're selling something you don't believe in to your friends. And then he tries to go to ridiculous ways to assuage his guilt before, like, eventually abandoning it. But here it's like, yeah, you're an actor. Like, yeah, no one actually believes that you, Woody Boyd, like this product. You're not, you know, trying to con people into it. But for the purposes of where Cheers is at this time, it being rooted in Woody's own kind of, oh my God, it's my face. I'm telling people I like it and I hate it. I'm a liar. You know, you buy it.
Yeah, you'd think for somebody for whom honesty is such a big deal, acting might not be the profession for him. Yeah.
Yes.
No, yeah, yeah. That's true. It's one of those things that you kind of have to separate the continuity from it. It's like, okay, for the premise of this one to work, we just got to roll with it. So after we go to a commercial with Woody running down there, and when we come back, they brought Woody back to the bar. They're trying to console him. He was like, he was on 14 channels saying that he likes a drink that he hates. And Cliff corrects him. It was actually 15 channels. And everyone forgets about Lifetime. They're like, well, maybe it's not so bad. And they look, what are the ingredients of Veggie Boy? It's like water, broccoli, cauliflower, and kale.
And Sam's delivery of kale for, this is 35 years later, but at the time, that was the weird, you know, it was not as, no. So it's just this weird, so the rule of threes, it's like the weirdest one that you actually, is that even a real vegetable? And now, obviously 16-year-old me who watched this the first time, like, that was the most disgusting thing imaginable. My mother, whatever, those vegetables, just like, don't stay broccoli away from me, cauliflower, all of that. I just want burgers, fries, and pizza. Now, exactly. as a middle-aged man, I'm eating all of this regularly several times a week. So it's like, oh, that sounds pretty good. And I would pay you pay $10 in Portland for essentially a Veggie Boy smoothie. That's yeah, kind really, of normal. Really, yeah. A lot has changed, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was kind of like thinking like the same thing. Like when I watched this as a kid, I was like, oh my gosh, this must be disgusting. Kale must be some wretched thing. Of course, like I don't think I had kale until I was in my mid 30s. And I was like, this is fine. What is this? I was like I've had a shot of wheatgrass drink. I was like, that's essentially, it tasted like mowing the lawn in my mouth. But I was like, it was fine. Veggie Boy couldn't have been worse than that. So. But they're like, you know, it's probably not as bad as it sounds. And Frasier takes a sip of it, and he can't even swallow it. He just, like, threw it, like, with it in his mouth. He's like, kale was a bad choice.
It was not a good idea. Wait, like, and you will only notice it if you obviously go back. But George Wendt is losing it as elderly. Because it's so, he's got the look of horror on his face. Mm-hmm. Kale was not a good idea.
They mentioned that the studio sent, or the company sent a letter to Woody, and he's like, it's probably a paycheck, but he can't cash it. It'd be like paying him to lie. His mom always said lying is the worst of the seven deadly sins. I'm like, wait. Lying is one of the seven deadly sins? And Cliff's like, yeah, of course it is. You got lying, lust, greed, bashful. It's like, well, no. That's the seven deadly dwarves. I remember that line so much so that, like, whenever I hear or like any random reference to Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, in my mind it goes to Snow White and the Seven Deadly Dwarves. Like,
yeah,
I automatically insert that qualifier, the Seven Deadly Dwarves.
I'm surprised that was never one of the more modern remakes. If you try to make the character, their own ninjas or something.
Yeah, Snow White starring Chris Hemsworth or whatever in the Seven Deadly Dwarves. Yeah. Sam, he tries to help Woody out. He tells him this story. It's like, you know, sometimes lying can actually be good. Sometimes lying can help somebody out. And he tells this story about how when he was playing baseball, there was this backup catcher who was having a rough spot. And everybody, the whole team knew that this guy was going to be cut anytime. And as it happens, it was actually like his birthday, too. And the catcher asked Sam, he's like, am I going to be cut? Is this rumor true? And Sam was like, no, it's not true. You're fine. Go out and have a good game. and happy birthday. And the guy did go out. He had a good game. And it turns out that that wasn't true. He didn't get cut. And Woody was like, wow, so it was actually a good thing that you lied to the guy. He's like, thanks, Sam. You gave me a lot to think about. And Woody kind of wanders off. And they're like, oh, that was a good story. Was it true? A lot of it was true. I changed a few things. It wasn't the backup catcher. It was me. Turns out I was cut, and the guys didn't have any trouble lying to me about it. So that's kind of the whole story. Sam was like, what part of it was true? He's like, well, it was my birthday. And Woody overheard this whole thing. So it was like, the happy birthday liar. He's like, so mad at him. I was like, Woody, wait, I'm sorry. Later on, still, Woody is so depressed and he hasn't gotten over it. And somebody keeps reminding him of it every 5 minutes. That's somebody being Carly, who shouts out, hey, Woody, it's 4 o'clock. Or she called him Pinocchio. It's 4 o'clock. Do you know where your commercial's playing? And this is when Lilith is like, that's just a little bit sadistic, isn't it? She's like, yeah, but I like Woody.
He's only a little bit.
Only a little bit. She modified it. She could have been a lot worse. But... and then Cliff is like, well, you know, as Woody is going through this existential crisis, let's pass the time with some trivia napkins. And they're like, wow, you came around to the idea. Like, oh, yeah, I realize you guys like me better than some napkins. And they don't confirm that. But
yeah.
So Frasier is reading his, and he's like, this is the most boring napkin I've ever come across. They're like, well, what does it say? He's like, I can't even tell. It looks like it was homemade. Some moron typed this on a manual typewriter. And Cliff is like, well, that's odd. Read the question anyway.
And Frasier, it's not a napkin. It's a cry for help.
It's a cry for help. And Cliff blows up again. He's like, so I forced a napkin. Can you blame me? It's like, for the better part of the 80s, I've been trying to enlighten you with my special brand of wisdom. It's like, now you're going to have to choose, people. Is it me or the napkins? Met with dead air. Or both. We can switch.
We can alternate.
Like, that's a good idea. And he like buys a round for his friends and they're like, yeah, let's see a napkin do that. Yeah. So, Woody comes back in and a customer asks, he's like, hey, can I get something? He's like, yeah, what would you like? He's like, what would you recommend? He's like, what does it matter? You wouldn't believe me anyway. like I'm just a liar. And I like it. They're like, what do you have to get over this? And he says, he lied to America. He lied to that all-important 18 to 35 target group. Like, somebody told him, impressed upon him the importance of this demographic that his commercial was targeted to. And that's what he's focused on. And they're like, well, what if you could learn to like the drink? And they're like, you know, you have to develop a taste for it over time. And Norm was like, Norm asks for a beer. And he's like, let's say you put a stick of broccoli in it and you let the broccoli sit in that beer for a little while. And then eventually you taste the broccoli out and eventually it'll grow to taste like the beer or something. And you kind of get used to the taste of broccoli that way. And he's like, well, we don't have any broccoli. He's like, all right, well, thanks for the beer anyway. He's like, I know that ultimately the goal was just to get a free beer, but I was like, I'm not even sure the logic of what he was trying to explain there made a lot of sense.
No, it doesn't help. It's sort of like when people would serve basically fried cheese seasoned with broccoli. Like, it's sort of like, this is how I eat it. It's like, okay, well, I don't know what nutritional... If you feel good about yourself, go ahead and do it this way. Or bacon seasoned with Brussels sprouts. It's like, okay, well, this is predominantly something else, but go ahead.
Cliff said that his mom got him to like Brussels sprouts by putting them in his pocket and walking around with them for a while. And Woody's like, I don't like Brussels sprouts. He's like, oh, try it anyway. It's a good feeling. Such a weird thing.
Weird.
Frasier then posits that Sigmund Freud would think that Woody's aversion to the drink is because of some childhood trauma. And Lilith blows a little raspberry at this Freud suggestion. And she's mentioned, and like, Frasier's like, what is your objection to this? And she says, everyone has abandoned Freud's theories. You're the only one who still likes them. His whole shtick is outdated, sexist superstition. She says it's unsupported without a shred of evidence. And Frasier just, you're drunk. super defensive, just turns the guy. My wife is smashed blotto. He's like, Sam, no more Boilermakers for
Dr. Lilith Sternkrame. Yeah, it's interesting because we, as a fan of the show Frasier, how Lilith, especially in this episode, kind of is that foil that Niles would be, someone who is equally knowledgeable in the field and is kind of, is the only one qualified really to be like, whatever you just said was nonsense. And that is the role she plays here.
I just like how super defensive he gets about it so quickly, so immediately too. It's like, we, Frasier, he says that he can help Woody with some deep Freudian psychoanalysis. And it, like, over time, and Woody's like, well, isn't there anything quicker? And he's like, oh, yes, but nothing so lucrative. And I'm like, he has this line. He's like, he refers to Fred as the master. And he's like, I dare say if the master was here today, he would, after striking Lilith. joking about hitting her. He's like, suggest this whole thing. Frasier's like, well, you know, if you want something really quick, we'll just try hypnosis. And she's like, okay, you're, first you were talking about Dr. Freud, now you're espousing Dr. Mesmer themes or something. She's like, why not bleed him with leeches while you're at it, or drill a hole in his head to let the bad juju out or something? She's like, maybe he doesn't like vegetables because they remind him of his mother. And Lilith does this, ooh. And then Frasier, this is, I think this is the part where we're like, okay, but not sure how well this part aged. Because Frasier mentions that he hypnotized Lilith at a party to remove her shoes when someone mentions three cheese. And Lilith is like, you did not do that, even as she's taking one of her shoes off. And she's like, stop that, stop that. And you didn't hypnotize me. He's like, by the way, Lilith, is that a tambourine behind you? A tambourine? Whatever. And she starts to unbutton her shirt. Yes. And then she catches it, like, before she can under it. She's like, you were in such trouble, mister. I'm like,
yeah, that's really, like, he is obviously hypnotized and humiliating, like sexually humiliating ways in front of her friends and presumably colleagues, right?
Because right.
Who they socialize with, and it's incredibly hostile. But that's sort of an issue with their relationship. I remember, again, 16-year-old me, because I was a big Bebe Neuwirth fan, and I was very disappointed later, a few years later, when she didn't transition to Frasier, because it's kind of like, they should be together on the show. Right. I love this character. But yeah, they don't really work together. They aren't necessarily a good couple. In a weird way, Vera and Norm, like, Norm would often demonstrate how much he loved Vera. There was like the classic moment where, and I don't know, this is an episode you've done yet or will, where he gets very upset when John Alan Hill says something about Vera, like, you see, you know, and one that always breaks my heart, of where he is up for a raise, but he loses it because Vera is not the right corporate wife, right?
Right.
He takes it. He tells her that it's because he's a loser, and it's like, I don't know why you put up with me or whatever. Because he doesn't want her to feel bad. He'd rather that she thinks he's a loser. And so the show always kind of shows that he loves Vera despite everything he says, sort of reinforcing that. And they don't really, like, Frasier, there's a lot of hostility towards Lilith. They sort of have that without necessarily showing kind of true affection. But I don't know if that's something you'd picked up on while watching.
No, it definitely is. Like, they're... their relationship, and maybe it's like, maybe it's disguised by the fact that they are so clinical, both being, you know, psychiatrists and psychologists of their own. But like, you kind of see, like, when they are affectionate, it's almost a little surprising. It's like almost like when Lilith lets her hair down. That's like just an aspect that you're not used to seeing. So when they become almost antagonistic and playing at each other, it's like, is this like just part of their competitive nature? They're sort of like, so much of the relationship at times seems to be one-upping each other. I kind of get that in terms of, I mean, being a sitcom, you need that for a little bit of the comedic element as their relationships go. But it's one of those things where in retrospect, like years later, you're like, yeah, this might be evidence of why they were not going to work out.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. And I remember online years ago, someone had come, well, it was interesting, and I obviously disagreed, but they had a sense of, oh, well, she is in his domain making fun of him, which is obviously pretty a sexist comment, but it is a sense of, I guess it goes back to why Lilith is at Cheers. So, like, why is she spending her time as parents ourselves? It's like, when we ever get time as the two of us, you're like, you know, you got a babysitter for the two of you to, like, hang out at Cheers together. Like, is this your date night? It's what's, what is, it's interesting because you've, have explained this before of how they were choosing between Eddie Lebeck and Lilith as sort of a recurring character. And yeah. Eddie, while he doesn't add anything new that the other characters would, he would obviously be a more natural sense of why he's there. And as yeah. a sort of fit in as a sort of, you know, tertiary barfly, as you call them. But Lilith, it was always like, well, why is she here? Like, why would she, like, what is the point? Right. And so, It would help if Frasier actually enjoyed having her there, you know, like if there was sort of affection, that would sort of yeah. be a kind of a couple hanging out at Cheers together. But we don't often see that.
I also, and this goes back to like the very first episode when we meet Diane and Sumner. And I think Frasier and Lilith were part of that mold, too, is that the show treats these academics, these people who are more educated and cultured, sophisticated, they have an attitude of being kind of morally and intellectually superior. Mm-hmm. And when that kind of, when they treat each other that way, when Frasier and Love kind of go at each other that way, I think that's when it, that's when it's, it verges almost on hostility, because it's like, yes. okay, you're not just like, now it, maybe it's just because of their kind of smugness that it comes off as more cruel.
Yeah. And I think with, both with Robin and with Sumner and other characters of kind of like with that class
right.
dynamicism, any humiliation they experience, we kind of feel that they is justified because they're either yeah. smug or snotty yeah. and it's punching up. But yeah. here it's very hard. Like, I don't know, and we can get to how the episode mm-hmm. ends, but Lilith's similar to like visiting Letcher, like it all ends with the humiliation of a character who,
right.
a female character who I don't think right. deserves it. Like why,
right.
you know, why is she the one who's humiliated, yeah. like yeah. of all the characters here?
Yeah. And almost like how far was Frasier going to let her undress before he stopped her? And she kind of snaps out at herself and is like, Frasier, what are you doing here? Like,
yeah, that's such a very, and it also suggests that she's wrong. And of course, I mean, obviously the purposes of this is we can, obviously we'll get into, it works, quote unquote, but it is somewhat of an absurd thing. Like right. Frasier with his war with Madame Lazora is usually sort of like a scientist, right? And here
right,
it's
right.
like, this obviously does not work.
Right. Again, this is kind of like the punchline, the joke at the end, too. But like Lilith says, you're in such trouble for this. But we don't see that. We don't see mm-hmm. him actually punished for this. So there's no sort of confirmation that he's in the wrong here. Like we understand. But
he doesn't blow back to him. Yeah.
Right. Anyway, later on, Frasier and Woody come out of the back office and Woody has hypnotized and he tries the drink again and he's like, I like it. No, I really like it. I love it. He's like, I'm not a liar anymore. And he takes a bigger drink. He's like, boy, you can really taste the kale. And Sam is like, hey, Frasier, that's a great job. He's like, you really did it for Woody. And he's like, yeah, Woody's highly susceptible to hypnosis or something. He's like, I had the job accomplished in 5 minutes. He's like, Frasier, you had him back there for 2 hours. What were you doing that whole time? Frasier's like, just snooping.
The diabolical gleam in his eyes.
And he's like, we'll talk later. It's like, Frasier, there's probably some ethics going on. Where's Frasier, you know, ethics? Not necessarily a thing. But yeah, he's just like, okay. He's like, I've got this kid who's clearly something that I'm sure Frasier and Lilith have had conversations about Woody at home. Like, just the way. So he's like, yeah, I've got this. I'm going to dig around. I'm going to find out more about this guy. Woody's like opens the letter with the check and he finds out it wasn't a paycheck. It's this letter from the company saying that they've discontinued Veggie Boy. They're not going to sell because of lack of interest. And like, I think that means nobody liked it. He's like, how can they not like it? It's broccoli, cauliflower, and kale. Has America gone mad? And Norm is like, you know, Woody, maybe it wasn't as good as you think. And so Woody just snaps on him. He's like, shut up, Mr. Peterson, which we never hear Woody talk like that. Like,
talk about Veggie Boy.
Yeah. He's like, I need my Veggie Boy. How am I going to get it?
I need my Veggie Boy. This whole breakdown, my God.
And And he started going into this whole thing. He's like, wait, I know. I'll take it to a lab and I'll find out how to replicate it. He's like, I can grow the crops myself. I'm a farmer.
Yes. Well, before, like, he opens the box, like, and there's all these cases, and this is a line I've stolen ever when it's something I really like, and it'd be like, oh, this won't get me through the night.
This isn't enough to get me through the night. Oh, the whole thing is just, like, the hypnosis went too far that now he's, like, obsessed, like a fiend for Veggie Boy. And he... It's like, and Fridge is like, all right. So he's like, what do you look at the watch again? He's trying to hypnose him. He's like, get him, I don't have time for this.
I need to get that watch away from me, old man. I got crops to plant.
He's like, I got crops to plant. He's like, they like, stop. He's like, what do you need to come back to the office? He's like, I don't need that. All I need is 3 tons of topsoil and a big yellow tractor. And then at the mention of tractor, Lilith starts to sing the song Tomorrow by Charles Strauss and Martin Sherman. And yeah, and then, like, as it cuts to black, you hear Fraser say, Lil, put your skirt down and watch the watch or something. So that little kind of moment, I mean, it's played so quickly that it's easy to just kind of, like, all right, gloss over that one, because it's really, the episode's not about that in the way the Visiting Lecher episode was about gaslighting Rebecca in a not funny way. This one is just like, okay. This is horrible behavior, but it's kind of like, all right, we don't, it's bad, but it's also, I don't think, like, we don't see them crossing any kind of line or anything that would make it unforgivable. And it just moves so quickly. Yeah.
And it is the zinger. That's unfortunate. That is the zinger. I think Woody's breakdown is hilarious. That would have been for me sufficient, but I guess they felt they needed a bigger kind of hilarious ending, more, hilarious ending than him going out.
I think they just needed a reason for Bebe Neuwirth to sing.
No, there should never be. Yes, he was great.
Yeah, aside from that little thing, I mean, just again, it's a simple story, but even like the subplot with the trivia napkins, I really like Cliff's part in that. Like, he was for that. Like, I even considered him as an MVP, but I was like, no, it's obviously going to be Woody. But I thought Cliff gave a strong showing in his little part. Lilith and Frasier, even though Lilith didn't do a whole lot, just her back and forth with Frasier in that scene really, like, just seeing Bebe Neuwirth as Lilith go, like, blow a raspberry at one of Frasier's ideas. Like, I can see more of that. I can have more of that in my life.
Oh, yes. It's just hilarious, like, and just kind of ripping down this absurdity of what he's saying, of like, if you're, and it was especially even, I think, by that time, a lot of lay people were just sort of throwing, oh, yes, this is because of your, everything's because of your mother or this.
Right.
It kind of permeated the consciousness, and then it was sort of been broken out of being like just absurd mumbo jumbo. So, for me, Woody's breakdown, because Harrelson plays it so bit, like, he doesn't go immediately to something's wrong at first, like, oh, I like it, okay. And then it's like, well, I could just now take this check and buy some more Veggie Boy. And even the way he delivers that, it's like, oh, okay, well, maybe he's kind of joking. And then, like, suddenly everyone's like, is escalating to, like, obviously Frasier has
created the monster.
Destroyed his mind. Fortunately, they discontinued Veggie Boy. I think even if they had not, should not let him, like, have a, $100 a day or something Veggie Boy habit would not be good. So they should probably Frasier should have to fix that anyway. But
It does sort of confirm it. It does feel like, I mean, when Frasier said, Woody, he was able to hypnotize Woody and get this in 5 minutes. It's like, okay, yeah, well, then this is the damage that you do. If Woody is that susceptible to these post-hypnotic suggestions, then of course he's going to turn him into a raving monster that needs this like a drug. Yeah.
I would, I am certainly be tempted. I'm a very picky, my son's a picky eater, so if he would, I could be hypnotize him to like, probably cauliflower and kale in 5 minutes. I mean, it was a dark part of me is like, well, maybe. the broccoli, the cauliflower, and the kale is especially, again, where we are now is one of those moments of you certain see things of certain late 80s, early 90s. Pop culture that has either endured or shifted in different ways. Alas, Arsenio Hall did not endure. I think that was the past episode he appeared. But like this, Kale has survived better than Arsenio.
And you know what? And I like it didn't occur to me to bring this up earlier, but like I remember for a long time kind of being confused, like, was this an alcoholic drink? Like, they don't mention that in, like, the ingredients, but I was like, he's playing a bartender serving this? Like, and it was just sort of that thing. And just because, like, you're right, like, we like veggie drinks, veggie smoothies, they kind of, like, over time, like,
well, yeah,
they just become so ubiquitous. Well, you get them everywhere. So do
you think
for
that
this
also
to be kind of a novelty at the time?
I think it's last season, right, where they have the whole thing with Norm being a designated driver. And I think right. there was a sense of, because a good friend of mine doesn't drink as well, there was just sort of like, you try to get a mocktails. Can I get this? And some yeah. places are more open to it. Others would be like, we don't have any mocktails. So she would have to order, like, can I get this about the gin? And
it would right, be, right,
you
know, right.
Like,
right.
essentially because it's the other drinks or something. And so something that you could actually go and have, you could see them. This is why...
Right.
Sam being a recovering alcoholic, they don't mention that, but that would be a nice thing of like, I'm going to serve something for people
right.
who don't drink.
Right.
Sam yeah. is usually always piling down the coffee. So yeah. This, you know, that makes sense to me. It is, of course, and the 80s had the whole low fat moment, especially the early 90s. So there was mm-hmm. sense of trying to like be, but yes, the combination of it. Perhaps was not ideal. Chunky was hilarious. I think that was also
Wheeler or Chunky.
Chunky.
For Norm's tab, Norm had 7 beers this episode, which brings him up to 876. Yeah, for the employee of the week, it was Woody. But like I said, I really liked Cliff as well as Fraser and Lilith too. What about you?
The same, obviously. Woody Harrelson is great in this, really carries the episode, as he does in a lot when things focus on him. And everyone is really good. I mean, Frasier, definitely. Mm-hmm. But we've talked about Kelsey Grammer can take anything and really make it gold. And yes, the Cliff subplot was sort of always kind of a welcome surprise for me. Sometimes I forget that it's in this episode and I'll watch
yeah,
it. It's
yeah.
just sort of, it's a nice, yeah. his sort of battle, his battle with the trivia napkins, which again is based on something I think was occurring at the time where the
yeah.
trivia napkins would exist. It's sort of this existential crisis for him.
Right.
What he provided.
And yeah, you mentioned it sort of at the beginning of the episode, like Kelsey Grammer, I definitely think Woody was one of the few characters that could have headlined, that could have led a spinoff show. Like if they had taken Cheers, if they had continued Cheers after Sam or done a spinoff show, I think the character of Woody was strong enough and the actor obviously capable enough that they could have, he could have had his own thing. Where if they would have taken it in a direction with Kelly and her family or kept it in Cheers with the family, like well, we would have seen, but yeah. So like, All that is to say, if you've got a Woody-centric episode, it's going to be a strong episode. So, I think my favorite line was when he takes the drink. He's like, you can really taste the kale.
Yes, yes. I won't repeat that one. I will do. The kale was not a good idea. That's the one that offered. Because I've stolen it so often, this is not a blank, it is a cry for help. Whenever someone has done something, this is not an article, this is a cry for help. Or this is...
Love that one too. I love when Frasier just says, like, what were you doing back there for 2 hours? Just snooping. And then also Lilith's line, maybe he doesn't like vegetables because they remind him of his mother. Ooh.
Yes, it's... No, it's just the contempt she has for Freud is so clear, and like the old mumbo jumbo and the hocus pocus, she really, really nails.
All right, Stephen, thank you very much for coming back to the show to help me cover this episode. This is always lot of fun.
It was so was great. I thank you so much. This was a fun episode as well to revisit, and now I'm gonna go probably have something involving broccoli, cauliflower, and kale because I am a very middle-aged man now. So.
Have fun with that. But before then, why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you if they want to hear more from you?
The Playtyper Guy is my Substack and my podcast where I interview folks. Not always politics, is also about the arts. And I've had Ryan on as well. So check that out where you find podcasts. And then, on my Substack, please subscribe and check that out. And thank you.
All right, thank you. And thanks to all of you who listen to Cheerscast and support the show by liking and sharing on social media and leaving comments on the website fireandwaterpodcast.com. You can also support the Fire and Water Podcast Network on Patreon. Cheerscast is supported by the Right On Network and Jeff and Rick Presents Unpacking the Power of Power Pack. Go to patreon.com/FWPodcast to support your favorite show on the Fire and Water Network. Thanks everyone for listening, and until next time, we're closed.
So, how is this new drink, Veggie Boy?
I like it.
Yeah, right.
No, I really like it. I love it. Why, you know, I'm not a liar anymore.
All right.
Well, you can really taste the kale.